Mother's Day is celebrated just about everywhere in the world, although on different dates. So in the United States, we celebrate Mother's Day on the second Sunday of May. You can figure that by a calendar. Actually, if you're a Minnesotan, most years you can calculate it by the fishing opener because it's the same weekend. 2011 happens to be one of those rare years when the fishing opener actually comes on the weekend after Mother's Day. But in Norway, they celebrate Mother's Day on the second Sunday of February, when there's hardly any daylight in Norway. In England, the date moves around. It's on the second Sunday of Lent. In Sweden, Mother's Day is the last Sunday of the month of May. In Russia, it's also on the last Sunday of November. In Panama, it's on December 8th. And in Indonesia, it is December 22nd. But wherever it is, moms are important. If you Google the word mother, you will come up with 761 million listings. And you can visit them all. And after you finish, you can then Google father, which has a mere 424 million listings, about, well, a little more than half. And Mother's Day itself actually has 62,400,000 listings. One of the things that if you start Googling all of this, you will find that there is a website that lists the value of the work that a mother does in the typical American home. Now, this does not include money that she gets from jobs that are outside the house. This is just what it would cost to buy those services that she normally provides. And it comes to annually $61,436. Should I repeat that so you can write it down for later use? You may need that later, $61,436 a year. I tried to research how many Mother's Day cards are distributed every year. Couldn't find that. I'm sure it's a lot because it's really big business. So there are professional card poets that come up with words to be in each one of the Mother's Day cards that we see on the rack at the store. But perhaps the most famous of Mother's Day descriptions is not from a modern card writer, but from an ancient poet that wrote an acrostic poem in Hebrew that appears as the last chapter of the Old Testament book of Proverbs. An anonymous author writes that a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. So this list has been read to millions of women for 3,000 years and has made millions of women feel lousy. You hear this, and I mean, there's just these uncounted feelings of guilt and inadequacy and not much of measuring up. She's kind of over the top, seems ideal and perfect. But actually, she's had her critics and still does. So there are those who say, well, you know, if you read this story, there is nothing about her personal relationship with her husband. So apparently she was a pretty difficult woman to be married to. And if you read it carefully, there is nothing about her intellectual or emotional qualities. Conclusion? Low IQ, low EQ. She's really not very bright or very good at relationships. And there's no mention at all about her religious practices. So apparently she did not go to the temple and was not a very good person as far as religious disciplines were concerned. So you listen to the critics and it's obvious. She's a loser. This woman is just a complete loser. It kind of reminds me of an old story about a man who had an amazing hunting dog. And he would just brag about this dog. The dog could do all kinds of tricks, just amazing things that you would just, I mean, never think would be possible. And his friends sort of got fed up with all this bragging and seeming exaggeration. One of his friends in particular was just a constant cynic and critic about this hunting dog. So the dog's owner invited his most critical of friends along on a hunting trip with him and with his dog. So they were out along the shore of a lake when some ducks flew over and he shot one of the ducks, which then landed in the water dead about 200 yards from shore. He told the dog to go and fetch the duck. And the dog ran out on the water, on top of the water, got the duck, brought the duck back, never went in the water, and just along the top, and with a soft mouth, dropped the duck at the feet of both men. And the critic said, "That dog can't swim." So there are always critics, always those who will find what is wrong and find out what is missing. Now, if you're one of them, if who you are is that you are typically critical and cynical, then I would ask you to just for a short time cut some slack for this woman of Proverbs 31 and listen to her virtues. She has exemplary character. Her value is greater than the value of rubies. Her husband knows her better than anyone else knows her, and he has complete confidence in her. Every day, she brings good to him and to others. She is the kind of person who blesses rather than curses. She is the kind of person who helps rather than hurts. She is a woman whom you know you can always, always trust. And she works hard. She gets up early in the morning. She keeps her lamp on late at night. She works long hours. She feeds her family, but not just basics. It's not just what's available at the local market. She actually plans interesting menus and has imported ingredients. She obviously lives in a very affluent home because she has servant girls, employees that work for her, but she's still hands-on. It's with her own hands that she works the spindle. It's with her own hands that she is engaged in what is happening in the physical care of her household. And she plans ahead. She knows that winter's cold and snow are coming, and she has the clothing prepared so her family never needs to worry. They will always be warm. She makes clothes herself and has bedding for her family to sleep on. And she's good with money. She not only saves, but she also invests. So she's the kind of person who thinks ahead, who spends less than she is able to make. And then with that money, she is entrepreneurial. So she goes out and starts other businesses like a vineyard. And she cares for the poor. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. In other words, she works really hard and she earns a lot. But she delights in giving away what she has to those who are needy. That is, as I am sure you know, a consistent thread throughout all the Bible. There are over 2,000 references in the Bible about our attitudes and actions toward those that are poor. In fact, one of the measures of a righteous person is that person's words and actions concerning those who are poor. Well, we tend to just read that part which we have already looked at in describing this woman of Proverbs 31. We typically skip the introduction that leads up to this description. It's in Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. It says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of the destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy." So she is a righteous and a virtuous woman, and the proof of it is that she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. And when she speaks with wisdom. If you're at a neighborhood gathering or a party where she is, and you hear her voice and she's talking about something and you're already involved in a conversation, you want to excuse yourself from that conversation and just listen up to what she has to say. You want to be diligent to try to remember every word because she's not only smart, but she is insightful. The words that she speaks are good. She's not cruel or unkind. And she thinks before she speaks. Now, she may have, and she does have, her critics. But I want to be listed as one of her admirers. And she may seem like an idealized myth. But I can tell you that there are a lot of Christian women whom this pretty much accurately describes. But it's not the lofty words describing her that I invite you to most remember this Mother's Day. The words to remember, the words to memorize, the words of encouragement are in Proverbs 31, 28, and 29. "Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all." So these aren't words about her at all. These are words about her children and about her husband. So it's not a description of who she is or what she does. It's what others say about her. And they're not actually God's words of encouragement to us. They are asking us to speak words of encouragement to her. Because even the best of women need blessing and praise. In a survey reported in Family Circle magazine, 86% of mothers in America think they don't get enough respect. So my guess is that this unnamed woman of Proverbs 31 took greater delight in the words of blessing that came from her children and the words of praise that came from her husband than in all of the other things that she had. That this meant more to her than nice clothes or servant girls or a good return on her land investment. And it's not to say that she wouldn't be who she was or wouldn't do what she did without the blessing and praise, because everything we know about her says that this is the kind of person that she is. So anyway, she would work hard. Anyway, she would be generous to the poor. Anyway, she would speak wisely, because that's who she was. But to have the blessing of her children, to have the praise of her husband, that would mean more to her than everything else combined. Because there is something spectacular about blessing and praise that comes from those who really, really know you the best. So you may be chosen as the employee of the month, and it's from a supervisor or maybe from an office poll that is taken. And as a result, you get the employee of the month parking space and your picture up on the bulletin board. And those are good honors, appropriate honors. But these are people that don't know you when you're sick. These are people who aren't around you when a family crisis is causing everybody else to melt down. These are people that aren't there at your house late at night when your daughter or your son is breaking your heart or is desperately ill. It's the same way with investments. So this woman of Proverbs 31, she's really good with money. So today, it's someone who's so good with money that the balance in the checking account goes up, and that triggers something in the software that a person at the bank then writes a letter or makes a phone call and says, you're now in a special category and we'd like to give you extra privileges. And that's good. And that's an honor and terrific for you. But this is someone who doesn't really even know what you look like, doesn't know anything about your faith or whether you are consistent in your relationships or whether when you say something, you'll actually follow through. All this person knows is one piece of your life. But when it's a family member, when it's your daughter or your son, when it's your husband, when you get blessing and praise from those who really know all about you, then that carries a far greater weight. So here's my Mother's Day recommendation. And that is that the blessing and the praise not be limited to Mother's Day. That you send a Mother's Day card some other time of the year. Buy it tomorrow. You can get a great buy. You can buy a whole box of them for next to nothing tomorrow morning. And send it out. Well, don't send it out next week because it'll look like it's late for Mother's Day. So wait until June or around the 1st of July. And then she'll think it's early for next year. And maybe in August, send out an email that is your best blessing and praise of her, kind of like the words in Proverbs 31. Except send it to everybody that's on your contact list and blind copy her so she knows what you are saying about her to other people. And maybe in October, give her a dozen roses. They will be cheaper. This is overall economically sort of a good plan and a good approach. Over the next 10 months, at least 10 deliberate different times, tell her that she has done well. Bless her. Praise her for everything that you can think of. Look for every opportunity to say, you are a really good person. You're a really good mom. Be an encouragement. And it's interesting that when the Bible advises us, it speaks not so much of young children, but of adult children. The line says, her children arise and call her blessed. That doesn't mean that they get up out of the chair and say it. Arise is another way of saying when they are grown up. That, to be sure, is not to diminish the hug of a preschooler or the kind note that a third grader writes or the picture that is put up on the refrigerator. Those are wonderful and glorious items of blessing and praise. But there's something different and there's something more when it comes from an adult child who really understands how difficult life can be. An adult child who has gone through the issues and now has a fresh and new appreciation of who she is and what she does. And so it has an extra weight, an extra punch when it comes from those who have a lifetime of knowing her. And it's not just from children. It's from her husband. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praises her, saying, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Okay, so I have a confession to make. I've been married to Charlene most of my life, and I have never bought for her, I have never given to her a Mother's Day card. And I explained it to her years ago. She's not my mother. And early in our marriage, I thought that was really a good thing to get straight on what exactly is our relationship here. So, no, I do not give my wife Mother's Day cards, but I have praised her. I have praised her 10,000 times and more. So the husband of Proverbs 31 is praising her not just because she's a mom, not even most of all because she's a mom, but because of who she is and what she does. That these are words of what a husband is to speak, whether there are children involved or not. And he speaks directly to an issue that is a concern for most women. It is, how do I compare to others? How do I measure up? When you think of all of the women in your life and you think of me, how do I compare? What's your opinion of me in comparison? She wants to know what her husband really thinks. And his words are powerful. Many women do noble things. He's not unaware of the other women in his world. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. I've always had a little bit of trouble with these plaques and t-shirts that say, number one, mom, because it means my mother at best is two. And it's kind of an insult when you think about it. And actually, I'm not sure I've ever seen a t-shirt that said number one wife. I mean, that would be a whole new market. But that implies that there's two or three otherwise. Maybe that's a market that we shouldn't pursue. I don't know. But you know that this husband in Proverbs 31 is speaking not statistically. He's speaking relationally. He's saying, of all the women that I know, as far as I'm concerned, you are the very best. You surpass them all. What wonderful words for any husband to speak to his wife. So there's a practical question in all this, and here it is. Do they bless and praise her because of who she is and what she does? Or is she who she is and does she do what she does because of the way they bless and praise her? It is a question that needs no answer because the two go together. She is who she is, and she does what she does, and she receives blessing and praise. But you've got to know that when you receive blessing and praise, that transforms you into measuring up and being the better person than otherwise you ever would have been. So I read all this, and I think, I wonder what she looked like. And I imagine that she was beautiful, charming to be around, sort of a magnet in the life of the best of parties. But we really don't know. There's no description. We don't know if she was tall or short or the shade of her skin or the color of her hair or her eyes. In fact, to the contrary, the book of Proverbs finishes with words that every Christian woman needs to know. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Well, that's it. That's at the center core of who she is. This is what she's about. It is godliness. It is fear of God. It's relationship to God. Out of that comes her character, and out of that comes her behavior. It is her relationship with God that is most to be praised. And then the last line of this biblical Mother's Day card says, give her the reward that she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. So you put it all together, and here is the Bible's advice. Be a godly woman and praise and bless her for who she is. We thank you, God, for including this in your book. It is a high ideal, and yet a marvelous example and inspiration. Help us to take the challenge, to give the blessing and give the praise. for women, for mothers, for who they are and what they do, and for the contribution that we can make, not only in thanking them, but blessing and praising them to be all the more of what you want them to be. In Jesus' name, amen.